Hello, this is Climate and Community, Maine Voices for Action, with a Climate to Thrive. This five-minute weekly program will illuminate stories of climate courage, solutions, and resilience-building action, with a focus on communities leading the way right here in coastal Maine.
I'm your host, Wilson Hames. Last week on Climate and Community, I introduced Danny Robbins. Danny is a community organizer who incorporates her background in dance to inform her work in bringing people together to advocate for justice. Today, we learn from Danny about their perspective on rural organizing, how to support youth climate leaders, and why food justice is a meaningful climate solution. We began our conversation focused on rural organizing.
Individual conversations totally matter. I don't know that I'm hosting well-attended conversations or facilitating well-attended things yet. Like, that's definitely a dream. It's also not the only on-ramp to change. How much connection and how much change can you initiate in one-on-one conversations with people? Change in individual people is spectral and happens at a lot of different levels at once. If we don't think about people's personal politics in a nuanced way, we might really miss those people who we might be able to shift towards public utilities and talk about how our power is shared when we have access to the resources that we need publicly. If we're not willing to have a conversation, we're missing an opportunity to connect with people as people, just being willing to sit with small change, slow change, and sometimes contradictory change inside individual people.
In their role at Just Me for Just Us, Danny focuses on rural organizing with the specific goal of reaching youth.
It's great for youth voices to be included, but if they're being included without us making the day-to-day lives of youth more livable here in Maine, where the cost of living is skyrocketing, in a place with less infrastructure that is so rural and is being gentrified, youth are really feeling the cost of living crisis in a major way. So compensate them for showing up in these social movements for justice and work towards affordable housing, work towards healthcare, work towards accessible employment. Those are climate justice issues to me, because if we can get the stress of surviving out of the way for youth, they will be able to shine as leaders with fantastic solutions for the climate catastrophe that we're facing. I hear from so many of my friends who were leaders in organizing movements in their early 20s, who are just completely burnt out by the time they're 30, that they have massive student loans, or they're living paycheck to paycheck or working multiple jobs to be able to survive. And their voice is being lost from so many spaces because they are looking 48 hours ahead of themselves, not 10 years, like we all could be collectively. Helping youth thrive means economic justice if we want them to step forward in the climate movement. And that's going to be a huge resilience step. It is going to take some sustainability to make sure that the youth that are out there advocating right now can do so in waves. We need some sort of understanding that you will have months of your organizing life where you are really active and you are building connections and being the facilitator, being the host, doing the testimony, whatever it is that you're passionate about. And then there will be seasons of your life where you need to step back and you have to rest or you will get burnt out. And if we can coordinate those waves for young people who are interested in being community leaders and help them recognize what kind of leadership they're interested in, I think we're going to have a much lower burnout rate for youth organizers in our state.
As our conversation shifted, we discussed how we can avoid burnout by collaborating on work with outcomes that we can experience at the local level. I was curious to hear Danny's perspective on what contributions might be overlooked as a simple way to participate in climate action.
I think food justice is really tangible. It's something that I think feels really good because we can immediately see the impact of our actions when we make just our micro food systems more sustainable. When I say food justice, I mean, like, figure out what grocery store in your neighborhood might have some food waste. And are there elders on your block who you notice they don't get out often and you can deliver their groceries? Or can you connect them with, like, I know Healthy Acadia has seniors farm share, build a new relationship, especially with someone that you wouldn't talk to immediately. And if you can move resources towards where there was a prior blockage, I think that is such a beautiful small act of climate justice. Like, where are the resources not flowing? Why? And can you just be a bridge to the resource getting to where it would be really meaningful?
As we concluded our conversation, I asked Dani what empowers her as an artist and as a rural organizer for climate justice.
The possibility to repair harm. If we just crash forward into solutions without actually repairing harm systemically and also more locally, if we can practice taking accountability and repairing harm in our smaller relationships, I think that's going to really change how we move forward into a future. That really empowers me and makes me feel hope.
This has been Climate and Community with a Climate to Thrive, Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. Thanks for listening.